This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp is an online platform that helps you find a therapist that will match your needs. BetterHelp offers live video chats, open discussion conversations with real therapists in real time if that's what you need. I personally love it and have used it now for almost 2 years. I would really recommend if you need someone to talk to that is not in your family or your friend circle that you reach out to betterhelp.com and you will receive 10% off if you use my code BGP. So again, that's betterhelp.com/BGP to find the right online counselor for you. Hi, welcome to Big Girl Pants Podcast, where we talk about health, wellness, careers, parenting, relationships, and everything in between. I am your host, April Melton. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Welcome back to Big Girl Pants Podcast. Today, I have a very special guest, and I do not want to mess up the pronunciation of your last name, so you're going to say your whole name for us.
Well, hello, hello. Thanks for having me on. This is Poria Mianabi.
Oh, Mianabi. Okay. And on Instagram, you are at Persian
underscore money. Yes.
That's me. So the reason why I asked you to come on my podcast, which I think that it was definitely a universe thing, because there's no other way aside from that I would have met you at a brunch in Denver, Colorado, then 2 weeks later you would be in Texas. So like I had to fully take advantage of that opportunity to have you on. I only met you and I knew you were already cool, right? Like you meet somebody and their energy is good. You're like, I can vibe with this person, you know? You're very welcome. I meet you at brunch and then I was like, you were friends with Herbod, which Herbod's been on my podcast 3 times.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Love him. Absolutely love him. Brilliant, driven, humble, all of it, right? Mm-hmm. Happy. He's the best. But I met you at brunch and I was like, man, this guy's really cool. Like, and you know, I'm sure sometimes you get you get prejudged by the dreads, right? But like initially, yeah. I was like, man, this guy's fucking cool as shit. Like he's got dreadlocks, like he's vibing, he's chill, whatever. We're all talking, and then I was like, I have to have you on my podcast. But then, as the conversation continued, I found even more cool things about you. So I'm super pumped to hear your story, for you to tell your story, and for like. Wherever this organic conversation goes. That's the cool thing about my podcast is that there's no real direction. I don't have a set list of questions or anything like that. I just really enjoyed talking to you that day. And yeah. A lot of the things that we talked about, we have a lot of similarities, viewpoint, perspective, outlook, whatever. But you're from Texas.
I'm originally, yes.
Those dreads would say otherwise. Just saying.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, the looks I get here are even crazier than the looks I get in Denver.
Yeah, who do you think you are? You Rastafarian?
Like something like that. That's the nice one. That would be the nicest one.
That is
one.
The nice one, yeah, for sure. People are idiots.
Originally, I'm from Texas. I don't even know where to begin, right? You know, I grew up in Garland.
Well, we can start at birth. No, I'm just kidding. My parents migrated here from...
Yeah, exactly, from Iran. I grew up in Garland, Texas. I was always very, like, ambitious and, like, business-driven. I was always into,
from, like what age? Were you, like, selling candy in, like, elementary school?
Elementary school. All right. That whole side hustle. Yeah. Like, getting lollipops at 25 cents, flipping them at 50,
right.
$75, yeah. Dollar, whatever.
Genius.
Whatever. And it was all about supply. I already learned supply and demand.
Yeah.
Like, it was cheaper when there was abundant amount.
Yeah.
Than I knew to, like, hoard
right.
them at yes. that time. So, and then when the year progressed. Like
seriously,
I noticed
in kids elementary want, school? Yeah. That is so impressive.
Yeah, that would be fifth grade, like fourth and fifth grade. Yeah.
I mean, I always wanted to be, you know, that kid who like had the stuff, had the goods, right? I mean, who doesn't want to be that kid,
the
you know?
The backpack kid.
Yes, yeah, the backpack like, kid. That had candy and then you grow up and you're the backpack grown up. I mean, you just always got the stuff.
Well, and then like, I stopped that hustle when I got into like high school and stuff. Like, I noticed a kid when... What was it? When that incentive came to like get all the sodas and vending machines out yep. of high schools and yep. stuff, like that was a lick. Oh my, that was probably the best thing that could have happened to backpack kids.
Yeah.
And like the vending kids, because like you were making hand over fist at that point. You could come into school with like,
like just your luggage.
All the goodies. Like, yes. Yeah. Got in trouble sometimes. You know, sometimes they would not let us do that.
Of course. You couldn't do that.
They totally.
Oh, you can't make money while you're at school?
Yeah, no.
Is that frowned upon? We're not supposed to do that?
I disagree with that. If we should be teaching finance early as possible.
Not only that, entrepreneurship. You're literally an entrepreneur at school. But that goes against the system, so they're not allowed to
do that,
to perpetuate that or encourage that, right?
No.
Don't think for yourself. Don't start a business on your own. Just fall in line, right?
Well, public schools tend to want to like indoctrinate workers. They want to make. They don't want us.
They want worker
out of
bees.
The box.
They don't want build. They don't want company builders.
No. That's for the elite.
It's so tough, man. It's so tough. Like I was just having this conversation yesterday. We were talking about it at work, and they were like, oh, yeah, this lady, she's like super hippie. She has all these tattoos. Her kid's homeschooled. And I was like, yeah, what's wrong with that? Like,
yeah, what's wrong with that?
What does school teach our children? Like, even like,
or if you can afford a private teacher that you know that won't be constrained by,
or even like unschooling
program, like a school program,
right?
That she has to teach.
They have to teach to a test,
right?
Which, and even I can tell in Chloe's teacher's eyes when I have conversations with her, and when we talk about like the curriculum and what they're teaching towards and the things that they need to learn. Like they tried to say that my daughter has ADHD. I took her on a field trip the other day with the class. Zero need for medication.
Yeah,
why is that? Because we're walking, we're learning, we're active, we're moving. Like, it's so much more than just sit down, do the work on this paper.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
fill out forms.
And I mean, is life really that way? Like, how boring would your life be if you're just sitting at a desk filling out forms all day?
It can be aggravating. Yeah, that's why I could.
This is why people lose their minds. This is why flight attendants like tell you to go pound sand and jump off the plane, you know? Like,
oh, absolutely.
They just. It doesn't work like that, and it's not conducive. But if you don't fit in the mold, then they're going to try to medicate you or, you know, make you fit. They're going to push that square peg into a round hole. Like, it's so stupid. I hate it. So anyway, so you got in trouble for selling goods at school.
Oh, yeah, so that was that. After high school, I moved to Austin, actually. So from Dallas to Austin, I was there for a good while. I actually got... And I've always had a music background, by the way. So I'm always like playing instruments. I play about 5 instruments right now.
Yeah.
So I always had a big passion for music. So I moved to Austin and I ended up studying commercial music production over at like ACC.
Okay.
And I dropped out of the final year to start what ended up becoming a club promotion company. This would be like right around 2009 when like the dubstep scene wasn't huge and nobody really knew about it.
Right.
But like I was all about it. So I was already in on it. I was in on it before like Skrillex had made what Skrillex had made.
Sure. Yeah.
And I went down to the clubs on 6th Street and I would end up promoting those clubs on like some of their like shittiest nights.
Yeah.
But I would pack those nights out with college students because
they liked the music.
They liked the music that wasn't being played.
Which is still like that type of genre is
EDM's taken over quite a bit.
Right.
Especially
now.
In the club scene. It's completely overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Even you know, the EDM scene inside the club scene is absolutely massive now. So
I mean it's taking over most genres of music too. You notice that music as a music person, it like there's trends, right?
Oh,
like,
100%. If it doesn't it kind have of cycles like, of like 5 years.
Yeah.
Every like 5 years we notice major shifts in the music scene.
Yeah.
Five.
And more artists are like moving towards those types of songs now too. Like it has to be that.
It's just integrated. We're mixing the genres to make new sounds and to keep the masses entertained, if you will.
Exactly. So, the brainwashing? Fans,
no, not necessarily brainwashing, but
I know,
like...
But people like it.
Like, to entertain from the mundane, you gotta sometimes bridge gaps, and it's like about how do you... The stuff that does well, I've noticed, that does the most is when you're able to bridge a gap between two genres, so you're introducing... a new world to both fan bases.
Oh, okay.
So something that maybe they would have never crossed over to.
Yes.
You're that bridge that helped cross them over into this new genre that they would have never explored before.
All right.
And I've noticed that artists like Lil Peep did a great example of this with a lot of the songs that he would sample in his songs were from genres that people would have in the hip hop scene would have never been like listening to before.
Well, and it's funny because I saw something, it was like a reel or something on Instagram where it's like, and musicians have been doing this forever. Not, maybe not necessarily to that level, like taking.
No, it has. Right. That's why you notice that some of the superstars are the ones that are genre breaking.
Yeah.
That's the bridging of the gaps. Right. They're like breaking through status quos or any stereotypes, and they're able to bridge gaps between different genres and reintroduce the art in a different way to their community or their fan base.
And that's why they're called artists, right?
That's
because they
are blending the art. Right. They're blending art.
And like so many other songs, like when you listen to like even old school rap, old school hip hop, right? Like they'll take a beat or they'll take a line or a piece of a song and start their song that way, but then they completely change it and morph it into something else, into their own thing. But you know the beginning of the song, the intro or the beat from a completely separate song.
Absolutely.
But that's like genius, right?
So,
like,
and that's what like also doing things where you sample older music into newer music.
Yeah.
Right. That's introducing this music to a younger generation,
right.
And it's like, oh, it's their own. It's like, oh, wait, this already exists. Oh,
like, that's literally 20 years old.
Yeah. But that's
cool, man. But it's like cool. Respect. It's, and like those 25-year-olds, like you mentioned the dubstep, right? Like how it was, you were introducing it in Austin back in 2009.
Yeah.
And like the 25-year-olds that I work with now are like all into this music, right?
Yeah,
and they're like, it's like the newest, greatest thing. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, is it though? But also, this type of music is like very positive and upbeat. Like some of the lyrics can be sad or some of it can be slow or more melodramatic or emotional or whatever. But for the most part, it's really happy music.
Oh, what, dubstep? Or are you speaking in general? And
no, yeah, like just like dubstep and EDM as a whole. Like it's very
EDM
like,
is a, yeah. Well, dubstep as a genre can be kind of aggressive,
right?
It's it's all like, about headbanging.
It's like next level.
Well,
right?
I would actually even argue that it's like a pivot off of like almost metal music,
right?
And it gave like metalheads a direction to kind of go to,
yeah,
because they got left behind in the 90s.
They totally did.
And early
2000s. Yeah.
So like,
it was like everything just fell off
for like a good 10 years. They had nothing new coming out for them to like rock to. And now you have things like Bass Nectar.
Yep.
Right. And you got people that literally mosh and headbang to like Bass Nectar.
Just crazy. Like two of the guys that work in my office, they went to Red Rocks not that long ago for a concert. And I can't remember who it was, but it was
Red Rocks is an amazing venue. And
so
what I love about
awesome.
It is it brings talent from like literally everything. It's not
because why wouldn't you want to perform there?
Besides that, it's just the range of the genres that they bring through that venue is absolutely amazing. From it's not just always EDM or psytrance or any artist. I've seen a lot of different. I've seen people from like Deftones and Incubus to Marilyn Manson.
Yeah.
I've seen, you know, Tipper and Spungle there. So like that's incredible. You know, you're talking about from psytrance to like goth rock and all that. So
and everybody wants to play there.
So
you go to ACC, you drop out, you start that promotional company, and then
that goes really well. It kind of blows up.
So is this like your first official business company?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And I ended up selling it. And then I kind of wanted to, at this time, so we can like fast forward, it's like 2013, the recreational legalization of Colorado's marijuana happened.
Yeah.
And I like had my eye on it.
So
then
like,
from
here.
That, I was like, I think I'm out of here. I think I want to throw my hat into that race and see what I can do. Cause I've always been a cannabis connoisseur myself as well. I enjoy the cannabis.
I dabble in cannabis.
Highly.
Daily dabble.
Dabble. Yeah, absolutely. And I wanted to throw my hat into that race. I moved to, oh, and the reason I had to move was because to even partake,
you had to be a resident.
You had to be a resident at a minimum of 2 years at that time. Of course, now all those regulations are completely gone. You have big corporate investors now. I mean, that buying up license, massive. You got $50 million, $100 million funds
right.
that are coming in, massive, massive corporate money, massive right. corporate investors, hedge funds. It's so.
And you came with like the money that you, your company yeah, came with that money.
And I like sold my house, sold my belongings, right? And came with just what I had.
Yeah.
And thankfully at that time, right? So it was able to be like mom and pops versus mom and pops.
Yeah.
Right? Shops, right? Little indie shops versus indie shops.
And just for anybody who's listening and like, if you haven't been to Denver or even Colorado in general, they're everywhere.
We actually statistically have more cannabis stores than Starbucks.
That's insane.
That is 100% fact. We have more cannabis dispensaries in Colorado than we do Starbucks.
Why don't they like partner? Can I get some THC-infused coffee?
That would be perfect. I believe that product already exists.
I bet it does.
You'd be surprised what they've come out with now.
There's
everything from topical, edible, inhalable, consumable. You know, they have, you name it.
They now even have puppy treats
for CBD. If your elder dogs have joint
pains.
Or
if your dogs have anxiety.
Yeah, anxiety
like,
or pains.
Bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Which is so cool. That's so cool.
It is. If you really think about it, I think so. Like,
I think it's the coolest thing
away,
ever.
Why not have this option? Why does everyone have to go, you know, through a pharmaceutical, if they don't want to take pills, they should have another option. That
absolutely
shouldn't be
the only option. As a nation, we should destigmatize marijuana and really look at it as
holistic. We need to destigmatize holistic medicine.
Yes, and like, let's look at the real benefits. Let's do some clinical studies. Let's do some trials.
Yeah, how can we mix the two, right?
And like compare, right? Like we could do even a three part. We do a placebo, we do pharmaceutical, and we do marijuana.
Done.
Like, and show that. And then really, like, why haven't we done that already?
Who knows? They maybe have. We don't know what information they're keeping.
Boomers, man. I'm telling you, these damn boomers.
Boomers.
I'm just so against it. I can't believe in marijuana. So dumb. I do feel like we are moving towards something like that. And if they are doing the studies, then we'll see.
Beto O'Rourke says he's pro cannabis for Texas. So
deal. Make it happen.
We'll see as he tries to dethrone Hot Wheels here.
Hot Wheels. We'll see, man. I'm interested. I can't lie and say I'm not. I mean, I think Texas on its own has a very good economy, and we could only do better.
Yes.
We could only be better. I mean, look at Colorado. What did they do for their economy with the legalization of marijuana?
So they don't want to admit it. Okay.
Of course not.
They're not going to admit it, but cannabis saved Colorado. So I want
literally
you to take in consideration what happened in 2008. The housing market crashed at the exact same time that happened. Colorado legalized medicinal marijuana through the taxes of licensing, the sales of marijuana taxes.
Yeah.
That saved that entire state. That's the only reason it stayed afloat.
And now it was able
to make it through.
Now they're in
the housing
surplus.
Market crash. Now
they're making so much money off of that, off the taxes.
Yeah, they actually sent a letter out asking if does everyone want their like check, like for us to send them a check,
right,
or can we like roll this over into something else?
Right.
And it was something very pay. It was like $24 each person, but like
you're in the black.
Yeah,
you're not only in the black, you're in the positive. Like, come on, man.
Denver alone has immensely changed in just 10 years. All the construction, all the redevelopment, the expanded highways, the I-70 projects. I mean, it's been
immense.
And just
that alone. Use Colorado as the test case, right? The example. Every other state could use that as well. Use it as a model.
Absolutely.
Use it as a model. And then what? At Texas? Like, you're from Texas. How often is everything under construction here?
Oh, I've been born.
I've been over it. 35 has literally been under construction for 33 years. Like,
I've decided that by the time they finish that, we won't need roads.
We will literally be
flying cars. or teleporting to
places.
Story of our lives. I don't know.
Story of our lives.
Beam me up.
I hate
Scotty.
It. Scotty. So dumb. Okay, so you go to Colorado to partake, right?
In yeah, the throw my hat in. Okay. Yeah, threw
so
my
what
hat
did
in.
You do? What does that
created
mean?
Created Z Shaman Gardens LLC. Okay. I ended up.
This is your second company.
Yeah, I ended
so
up purchasing.
So two companies. How old are you at this point?
I am 24 now.
24.
Yeah.
How old are you when you started your first one?
21.
Okay.
Because it was the nightclub
right,
scene.
Two companies under 25. No big deal.
And I Crazy Shaman Gardens LLC, and I ended up purchasing a warehouse.
Okay.
To grow. It ended up being a recreational wholesale. I was a B2B model, so we
That's
sold.
Good. Did my you part. Like that better? Or I don't think there's an option, right? Unless you were to
yeah,
start
you,
a dispensary.
Well, unless you were to start a dispensary, which right. is a whole nother license and a whole nother
so
application.
B2B would probably be the best business model. And I know that.
Well, it has its ups and downs.
Okay.
So the cannabis industry was really interesting to watch as it's been developing and be a part of it.
Yeah.
And seeing like my other friends who are also invested into it struggle and make pivots and changes themselves.
Okay.
So we watched the cannabis industry go from almost like organized street dealing. That's really what it
was.
Sure. You would go in, you'd yeah. show your information, and then you'd like pick out whatever yeah. cannabis you like. They had their names and their percentages,
right.
but you'd get them in like literal sandwich baggies
right.
back in the day
yeah.
still. And now we're seeing brand development. And now we're seeing that the cannabis yeah. industry, if you want to survive, it needs to, especially if you are a grower,
yeah.
it's no more about, okay, grow pounds of sunset sherbet,
yep.
and then I'm going to send wholesale this sunset sherbet completely to this dispensary, right?
Yep.
And then let them package it. No, now it's about pre-packaging the pound
yep.
into either eighths, quarters, whatever it may be, gramming them out or yeah. eighthing them out.
I did notice there when we were
and
there.
And they're like little, these really nice like baggies. You're
yep.
starting to see.
There's like the black containers.
Glass jars
yep.
that have labeling around
branding.
Them.
It's all about branding. Yeah.
So what we're realizing now that the cannabis industry is kind of headed towards what was like the alcohol.
Right, like commercialization.
Commercialization
right.
of it. So people are now starting to choose brands over. It doesn't matter what was
I'll
grown.
Say, right?
It's just, oh, that brand.
Similar to wine.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Like I'm going to go and I'm going to buy a bottle of Meiomi if I want a $20 bottle of Pinot Noir.
Right.
Or I'm going to buy this if I want this or whatever. You know what I mean? Like you're always going to trust that label.
But at this, on the other side
of
that
coin. It's like
a
brand new thing, right? Like
no, because on the other side of the coin, it's why did it take so long to get there?
Oh,
because where else would it have gone? It
True.
Couldn't have stayed where
yeah.
it was.
Yeah.
If you're only moving
sandwich
forward.
Sandwich baggies?
Yeah, it could not have stayed at the sandwich baggie stage. There's no way.
There's not even a zipper on here, man. You just rolled it up.
You know, there's no way it would have became a multi-billion dollar industry. True. And the reason why you got people like Cookies that created a $100 million marijuana brand
yep.
essentially in just a couple of years.
Right.
You got like people like Backpack Boys.
That's crazy.
That's a brand out in Los Angeles. Jungle
cool,
Boys.
Though. Yeah.
And it's not necessarily even just their sales, but it's the brand itself.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
That has value.
Exactly.
So it's like to become this multi-billion dollar industry, it had to go there. We
right.
had to get IP involved.
I wonder why it took so long. Can we blame boomers again? Can we just blame them for everything?
I mean, they blame us for everything,
it's
so why not?
Our fault. Millennials have destroyed everything, so. Except
if
like,
you don't want to say it's boomers' fault, we can just say the fact that policy and lawmakers
that,
keeping it illegal, finally opening the doors is
so
what
weird,
and is showing the potential.
Yeah. It's so weird, though.
Of where
it's
it
like,
can go.
When we think about laws and regulations and policies, like, you know.
Like, oh, absolutely.
My thing is just, you know, does it make sense? Does it still make sense? Like, I know we've been doing it this way for 100 years or 200 years, but like, does it really make sense to keep doing it going forward? Like, I don't know if you saw the story about Cain Velasquez and he got in trouble for basically, he's a UFC fighter.
Okay.
Got in trouble for basically taking the law into his own hands because he found out that someone had molested his four-year-old over 90 times. So he chased this guy down, had a gun, all these things. He's arrested. He could be facing up to 30 years in jail. Mm. But they say, well, you can't take the law in your own hands. You can't.
You can't, because then we'll get vigilantism.
Right.
And there are innocent people currently in jail. So think
true.
About that.
If it, the Innocence if Project, the yeah.
If it, in the same token, this, besides the example that you just brought up, yeah. horrendous, right?
Totally.
Obviously, you know, whatever happened to the
child,
the,
for sure.
You know.
Awful.
Awful. But going back to what you're saying, no, you'll get vigilantism.
Sure.
And then if you don't have your day, that's the beauty of America. Everyone gets their day in court. Everyone has the chance to speak on or have someone
true.
Speak. Like,
true.
Because then it would be a witch. We would go back to witch hunts.
That's true.
And I could just sit here and be like, she's a witch. And I'd be like, she's a witch.
We're going to burn
all
her.
All right, let's burn her.
At the stake.
And all I could say is, I saw her doing weird stuff in the forest with a cauldron. Right?
It's all
and
her fault. She did it.
And that's all it. But
she put a
that's,
curse on me.
That's, you know. But
true.
That's what it was back then. That's why.
But the argument comes from, then why are people. Oh, so the Innocence Project in that piece is absolutely valid. There are so many people who are in jail right now that are falsely accused that didn't actually commit any crimes, right? They were
right.
just in the wrong place at the wrong time, or somebody saw them and they said, you look guilty, which is essentially
or mistaken
like,
identity,
which is essentially like a witch hunt in itself. Like he looks guilty, so I'm going to put him in jail.
Yeah. Or mistaken identity. You look like the person I think I saw.
Yes. Karen.
You know.
We got you.
You. Yeah.
But so. Also, there are people that aren't, like, I don't think, this is such a rabbit hole, I love it. We just completely veered off lane again. But it's like there are people who do commit crimes and then the sentence doesn't match the crime. The punishment doesn't match the crime.
I would like to go back to where, like, giving judges a little bit more power instead
yes.
of setting these, like,
yes.
parameters that the judges have to abide by
right.
when sentencing.
Yes.
Like, yeah, I would. But then that is a slippery slope.
Totally, because
everything,
then you have that one guy.
Because then you're going to have that one judge who's being a prejudice.
Totally
being
screws the whole
who's
thing.
Being completely biased, you know. And he
doesn't like you because you're dreadlocks, so you go to jail for the rest of your life because you smoked weed.
So, I mean.
Thank you, Kamala Harris.
So, it's a slippery slope. It's not a perfect system.
It's so
but
tough.
It's our system.
I'm
and
out.
Right now, it is. Unfortunately, the best
system.
We have. No, it's the best we have currently out of all the other options.
That's true.
Unless we're about to have a robot be a judge that's going to be unbiased, unlike, and just look at
what
straight
somebody,
facts.
But what happens if somebody hacks the robot? And they completely mess it.
Yeah, now it's Minority Report. Where are you, Tom Cruise? Save me, Tom Cruise!
Exactly.
Here's your Scientology magic.
Oh, my God. L. Ron Hubbard all day.
So,
okay, so branding, marijuana.
Oh, yeah.
So, but, and you were talking earlier too, we had a little glitch, so Poria and I kept speaking, but, so you actually sold.
Oh, yeah, I recently sold, but, when I started it in 2014, Zeeshaman Gardens, around 2016. So it was going really great. 2 years, it was going really well.
Yeah.
I was doing very fine, but I noticed something
missing.
So you're missing.
Like, you got a warehouse. You're
yeah.
like growing.
There's,
it's like lights everywhere.
Yep.
We got rows and rows of plants.
Yep.
Okay.
So we're
how
doing
it.
Well, actually, we're in shipping containers. So we're shipping containers
that's
inside
cool.
of a warehouse. All.
Why shipping containers inside of a warehouse? For
containment. It was cross containment. Protection and it was
temperature regulation,
yeah,
and environment
all of that.
Regulation,
environment
okay.
control,
humidity,
all of that,
all of it. Okay.
Yep. A to Z.
Well, for everybody who's listening who doesn't know anything about growing marijuana, sorry, growing cannabis,
you want a controlled environment.
Everything.
You're essentially building a perfect habitat for
right.
that plant is what you're doing.
It's called hydroponics, right?
Oh, hydroponics is a type of and style of growing.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, we did soil.
Cool.
We were soil based.
How'd you know how to do it? Did you have friends?
I just, you know, you kind of look up stuff, you read online, you read books, right?
Yeah.
The Grower's Bible.
Okay.
I actually, while I was in Austin doing the music stuff, I like did that on the side as a personal thing just to see
just
if I could do it. Yeah, just to learn.
Okay.
Nothing major, but technically in Texas, oh, I'm going to major. So maybe I didn't
Don't tell anybody.
I didn't do that. So anyways, push comes to shove. I noticed that my creative side was
lacking
and missing and like wanting to be back in the entertainment side of things.
Yep.
So when I came back to Dallas, because my family's here as well.
Right.
So I came and checked on them. I ended up purchasing a warehouse and creating Toon Tank Entertainment, which is my record label.
Awesome.
And we do artist development and films.
So we've gone from dubstep, cannabis, now a record label.
Yeah.
How old are you right now?
26.
That's impressive.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I don't think it's that
That's very
much.
Impressive because if you think about it, there are some people that have had like one or two maybe jobs in their professional career at your age and that have not branched out and started companies. So that's very impressive.
Well, I appreciate that.
It's okay.
Thank you.
Take the compliment. It's not a dick. It's a compliment. Just
Thanks.
Take it. You're welcome.
Thanks.
Thank you.
So I did that. I signed my first artist, Gotti Murano, in January of 2016 as well.
Okay.
And I now, like, fast forward, we've now branched into film. So we're also doing, I'm executive producing Jamie Kennedy's next comedy that's coming out called Don't Suck.
So cool.
So we're pretty excited for that. Just expanding. And I have two new artists that are signed to the label, Juke 21K and Gun 40.
Okay.
So just kind of growing. And that's circling back. Yeah. And I sold the business recently so I can kind of double down on the entertainment side of things because that's actually my real passion.
Right.
I've discovered like I love cannabis and it was wonderful to me.
Sure.
And I did, you know, make out like a bandit, if you will.
Sure.
But it provided me an even better opportunity to pursue like my true
Your real passion,
which is film and music.
Right.
And so I just doubled down and now here we are. And the things have since then been going really fast for Toon Tank. But for a good while there, it was very slow because I couldn't put enough time and resources into it like I wanted to.
So once you were able to step away from doing cannabis and the music, you were able to devote more time to the music. So you saw that business take off too.
Oh, absolutely.
Good.
But I mean, life happens, right?
Oh, for
so
sure.
Like there's obviously a lot of real shit happening in between then and like now. And it's like, you know, for example, my father got diagnosed with leukemia March of 2019.
I'm sorry.
Like 1st of March of 2019.
How is he now?
Passed away same year, November, literally the week of Thanksgiving, 2019.
Oh my goodness.
And so that was, you know, my family's dealing with that.
Yeah.
But in Middle Eastern culture, like Persian. I'm Persian.
You're from Iran.
Iran.
Right?
My parents are from Iran. They immigrated here first. But in our culture, we tend to not write, like, wills and stuff. Men tend to assume it just gets passed down. But it was a absolute mess.
Shit show.
It took my siblings and I a good 2 years to try to clean everything up.
Oh, wow.
And it was quite devastating and stressful. We're talking about, you know, possible foreclosures and like just threats of, and by the way, COVID happened, right? So, right 2 months later or 3 months later, COVID is announced in the US. So,
we love that
like,
for us.
Then we're dealing with that. I didn't even bring up the fact that I actually also owned a raceway with my father at this time.
Gas station?
Raceway.
Oh,
not,
raceway.
Not raceway, the gas station, an actual drag strip. It was like 124 acres out in Marion, Texas, where you could like come out and race cars.
Sure.
And because COVID, we got absolutely decimated and fell back with the lender.
Lender
was very aggressive because it was a private lender.
Yeah.
And took advantage of COVID and took advantage of the situation. But it was an incredibly dark period of like my life. And it was like, I'm pretty sure I was waking up every day, if I'm not mistaken, wanting to be dead.
Yeah. Even not wanting to be alive. Here.
I was not wanting to be in this like dimension anymore. I was like, okay, I'm done. If I can take this,
I'm done
headshot,
with this.
Can how do I take? Yeah, can I? Like, I kept like doing this. Like, am I done?
Are
like,
these goggles off like, yet? Yeah, what the fuck is going on?
Can we change the channel?
Wow, I'm so sorry about your dad. How old was he?
My father was 67.
My dad was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer in 2017, and he died last May.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, so I know that pain. It fucking sucks.
It sucks.
It sucks.
And it sucks to watch them literally disappear in that short period of time.
So short. Did you know he was sick before?
I mean, no. It was
so
literally
fast.
Went in.
What do you do? Get a checkup and they're like, hey, bro, something's wrong?
Going in for a checkup.
I cannot even imagine.
So fast forward, cleaned everything up. Life's back to like semi-normal, you know, I guess.
How's your mom?
Mom's okay, doing well. She's doing wonderful.
How many siblings do you have?
I have an older sister and a younger brother.
Okay. Yeah. So you're the middle.
I'm the middle.
Interesting.
I'm the black sheep. That's why I look like this.
That's why I have dreads.
Yep. So,
Yeah, but you're a successful black sheep, so they can't, like, be mad, you know?
That's why as a Persian, having the tattoos that I have is kind of like an oxymoron. Like, what? I'm an anomaly?
Right.
Like,
you're definitely an anomaly.
Definitely a glitch in the matrix because, but it.
Which pill
that
did
was
you take?
It. Because in our culture, like, none of what I'm doing right now is, like, deemed
except
acceptable.
The money part.
Except for the money except part. But the money part, unfortunately, in my culture as well, justifies whatever you want to do, pretty much. It's like, okay, well, if he's successful,
taking care of his knees, you're okay.
As long as you are an active member of society and doing your thing, then they tend to turn a blind eye.
Right.
So
you're like the good black sheep.
Good black sheep.
You have like a little crown on the black sheep.
I have a little halo held up on my tiny horns.
It's fine. So are you getting pressure from your mom to have kids yet?
I did before, not so much anymore.
That's surprising.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's good for you, right? Yeah. That's like a relief.
Absolutely.
You're like,
absolutely.
Thanks, mom. Chill out.
Yeah. Shh. So things, I've just been very business oriented. I made a lot of sacrifices in my personal life to just stay focused on my career and these businesses. And that's another thing, like, I don't think people really want to like talk enough about, because they really glamorize
the family.
No, they really glamorize entrepreneurship as well.
Oh,
they glamorize the chase. They glamorize the hustle.
They
glamorize
grind.
And I, you know, with all due respect to Gary Vee,
sure,
there are some things I disagree with him. And I fucking hate when that dude says,
you can say whatever the fuck you
want.
He's
like, I like losing. Losing is great. I'm like, losing fucking sucks. The only reason you're winning is because you don't like fucking losing. So don't say you like losing, because that's the stupidest shit I fucking have ever heard.
Fail. I'm like, yeah, until failure costs like $100,000.
Or millions, and you're not bouncing back. Then you need to reevaluate a lot of things.
That really sucks.
That sucks. Like, it's, that's what I kind of want to talk about. It's like they want to ignore the human emotions that come with failure. It's like, you got to be happy. You got to be ecstatic. You got to take your L's. You got to do it with a smile on your face. No, it's okay. Be sad. It fucked up.
Feel that shit.
But don't stay there.
Because if you don't feel that shit, then you will
not really learn the lesson.
It will overcome you. Like, if you try to ignore that shit, like, you lose. Like, my dad died, your dad died. If you didn't feel the feelings that you needed to feel when that happened, then 6 months down the road, it's going to come out somewhere else.
Absolutely.
It's called kicking the dog. So if you don't feel those feelings in that time and you don't reflect on what happened, losing a person, failing at a business, whatever the case may be, those feelings will come out elsewhere, and they typically come out on the people that you love. So like, you'll kick the dog, or you'll be rude to your spouse, or you'll be a dick to your friends, or whatever the case may be.
And you won't even realize it.
Exactly.
Where it's stemming from.
Exactly.
You think it's that situation, but it's not.
Where's this rage coming from? But yeah, you fucking idiot. You haven't talked about any of the shit that's going on in your life.
And that's where I just want like people to know that people don't give a shit about how many times you lose. And that's why I'm like, success is, it's easy. It really is. You just can't stop attempting. You got it. I hate that. See, when people like make people seem out like they're geniuses or whatever, it's like, technically you only got to be right one time.
Yes.
You just got to do it right
one
time.
And you just got to keep doing it.
And then, because once you do it right one time or you make that one big investment, all of a sudden you're a genius and all your failures all of a sudden disappear.
Or you're a guru.
Yeah, you're a guru and all of a sudden all your failures that you had disappear and they completely forgot
even
about
them.
Anymore
and they don't count anymore because you have all this money.
Because you hit it, but yeah, you did it right.
One time.
and that's why I'm just like, you know, success is actually easy. It's just, success is just the opposite of failure, which means you didn't quit. So as long as you don't stop, it's a money. This is a whole, everything is like a money game. I mean, it's not a money game, a numbers game.
Right.
So it's about how many times you attempt.
Exactly.
You can attempt like 1,000 times and fail, but that 1,001 right around the corner could be the one.
You're going to get It's just like what they say in sales, right? Like salespeople have to try 8 to 12 times before they get the yes. Well, like if you quit at 7, then you're fucked.
Right.
Like, what do you want me to tell you?
And that same concept applies really to everything you're doing.
Right.
It's just about how bad do you want it?
So funny,
how
too,
bad
because
do you want it?
Girls, the first thing I think of is, well, I actually think of two things, girls and guys, right? So let's talk dating, right? So an ugly dude is going to get a pretty girl if he keeps trying. At one point, a pretty girl will say yes to an ugly dude, whether he's funny or whatever, right? He just has to keep trying.
Well, his character. I think it just comes down to
physical. To what kind of person you are,
yeah,
but
I was gonna say,
still.
It's like, as long as you were charming.
But they say that, like, average men, like, there's a joke, right? Like, I want the confidence of an average white man because, like, they just have this innate fucking confidence and this arrogance or whatever. But, like, they will. And the same thing for women, right? Like, they always ask me, well, how did you, because before I met my current husband, I went on like probably 150, maybe 200 dates, a shitload of dates.
That's a lot.
It's a lot of dates, but same as sales, right? Like
It
is a numbers game. It's a numbers game. Same thing for dating, especially with apps now too, because it's just like prospecting.
I'm not sure about that one.
Okay. Hear me out. It's prospecting, right? So I'm swiping. Right? I think, oh, that guy's cool. Blah, 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 whatever. We have a conversation, right? Goes nowhere. Imagine you have to do that 50 more times to find someone that's actually worth having a conversation with, that you actually mesh with on a personal and romantic level. Then it progresses to a date. Then it progresses to two dates. Then it progresses to three dates. Then you find the person that you're going to marry. You know what I mean? It's 1,000% a numbers game. Unless it's 1,000% a numbers game. If you have standards.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
Because you could find someone in the third or fourth dude and be like, you know what? I could settle for this. I could be fine for this. Like, this guy's okay. He checks 6 out of 10 boxes. Like,
timing is very important.
Timing is important too, but I don't think that you're not going to meet anybody sitting on your couch in your living room.
Oh, no. But you have to, like you said, that's equivalent to like, you got to put yourself out there.
Yes.
But like with this, like, it's like the way you described it makes me think of, have you ever seen the movie Mel Brooks's History of the World Part 1?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Remember when they were in Rome and the queen came out and she was like, line them up. No.
Maybe.
I'm like, that's literally this is where we've come. This is full circle.
You're right.
We've gone full circle.
You're right. But also, I think it's like, and for me, it was, who's the person that I mesh well with?
Absolutely.
That I'm going to see myself with long term.
But these dating apps is essentially 100% a conservative version of what we used to do back in BC times.
Absolutely. And it's insanity.
It's full circle.
Whatever. What are you going to do?
Full circle is just now we're clothed.
Now
we're not naked.
But it would be nice if we were naked sometimes because then you could just take all the guesswork out of it, you know? I just need to see the full package up front.
Absolutely.
Also, can you have your credit score tattooed on your chest?
On your chest? And then maybe hand me it's like a resume. Oh.
It's pink and it's scented. I think it gives it something extra. Okay, so about your music company, so Toon
Tank.
Was
that from Legally Blonde?
Yeah, did you like that?
That was hilarious.
You got that reference. That was so good.
I was like, where did I know? Yeah.
Yes. So.
Love Reese. Love her.
She's so great.
She's so great. Okay,
and she's very, like, She's not political. I like it. She's not like one of those celebrities that virtue signals.
I just love her work.
I like it.
Don't know her
like
that.
Both. But yeah, so you have artists now. You've signed artists.
Yes.
So let's talk about what type of music or genres they're into and that you're into. Mm-hmm. So let's say somebody was listening to this, right? Remember like we were at the bar and that guy was like, "You're a producer, bro? Like, I make music. I'm a rapper."
Oh yeah, I remember that.
I'm sure that happens anytime.
A lot.
You're at a restaurant and you talk about what you do for a living.
I try not to. Yeah, right. And that's why I try not to.
Ixnay on the combo. But yeah, so what type of artists are they? Do you sign any type of artist that you see potential in? What does that look like?
First of all, it's the foundation. So I got to listen to your work.
Okay.
If it's musical, if you're a musical artist, I got to listen to your work.
Okay.
And then I have what I call my goosebump test. Mm, if it gives me goosebumps, I'll sign you. So I'll sign you if I get goosebumps. Or the other test I have is if you make my imagination. So I have a very active imagination.
Okay.
If you can trigger that in my brain, if your music triggers that. So one of the ways is if I listen to music, I can almost visually see an entire music video play out.
Okay.
And if the music's good enough, like, it'll trigger that thing and I'll literally see pieces of
potential. Right.
And I'll sign off of that. My first artist, Gotti Murano, he started really as a trap rapper.
Okay.
But with working with us and helping him find his sound, we've really, instead of making him try to make what he thought the masses were like, we started making what he more likes.
Okay.
And it created a trap metal sound, which is in that XXX, Lil Peep, Lil Gnar, that type of lane of music, or even Trippie Redd, that style of trap metal where we're mixing a little bit of rock and roll in and metal music into this hip hop scene.
Which is,
and
again, that
bridging of of genres.
Super cool.
And it's done really well for him. And he's really been able to find himself and be more comfortable on stage and everything that he does. And we really love it because Gotti's a brilliant guy. He's incredibly talented. The dude is an encyclopedia of music. You can have amazing conversations regarding artist talent ranging from any genre you can think of.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then.
So how'd you meet him?
I met him through my first business partner with Toon Tank Entertainment.
Okay.
Andy Welker. He was actually friends with Gotti. We actually all went to the same high school, Garland High School.
Oh my gosh. So, smallest world ever.
Well, when my business partner was a senior, Gotti Murano would have been a sophomore.
Okay.
So they were friends, I think, in that realm. And he introduced me to him. He's like, "Hey, I know a really talented guy. I think we can do something with him."
Yeah.
So I signed him. Cool. We made it to work. A year later, Andy wanted to go and do his own thing. We had different visions for the company.
Sure.
So he left, and Toon Tank was just me. And now my new business partner is Frosty G. He is Gotti's producer and has been Gotti's producer. So I brought him on board with me.
Cool.
When I brought Gotti on.
All right.
So then we kind of went from there. And then it's fast forward, I've signed Gunn, who's incredibly talented as well. He actually helped kickstart. Oh my God, I'm having a complete brain fart right now.
It's all good, whatever it is. You'll figure it out.
Yeah.
It'll come to you.
I'm going to come back to that. Absolutely.
We're going to circle back.
I'm going to circle back on that. But he's incredibly talented as well. He's got a new project coming out here pretty soon called The Gunn Show that we're pretty pumped about.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And we plan on having him on a radio interview tour. Doing a lot of press.
All right.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that was my next question. So you own this company. You sign these artists to your label. What does that mean? How do you, you literally went from cannabis to music. How do you
They're hand in hand.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Cannabis and music is hand in hand.
Well, naturally.
What musician do you know that hasn't partaked?
I know that, but I mean so the connections that you need to start a record label, You got to know people that have clubs.
I built that so network, can, yes. Right. So like so, Austin, right? I had those relationships in Austin that I had.
So you literally circled back.
I circled back. So you, and then, you know, you'd be surprised just the relationships you build even in the cannabis industry. You never know how vast people's networks are.
Oh, for sure.
So you could be doing something for someone and like helping them out. And they might not be the person that's going to help you out directly, but they know somebody. Right. And as a thank you, they introduce you to that person because they know what you're trying to work on and what you're trying to achieve.
That's badass.
So.
Well, it's like the saying, right? It's like your network is your
net worth. And that's a 1,000,000,000% true.
1,000%.
Because but that's why it matters when you stuff.
That's why it matters where you show, how you show up and where you show up and the type of person that you are.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Like, don't
110%.
You think, I can definitely tell when I met you that you were like salt of the earth, like a good person. Just like eye contact, conversation, like you gave me the same respect that I gave you, et cetera. So,
well, thank you for recognizing that.
Well, you're very welcome. I know it's not easy sometimes. You're like, I don't really want to talk to these fucking bitches, but whatever, I'm going to show up anyway. But no, I mean, that's like what I try to tell people too is like you literally, I try to tell the younger people that work with me is like you have no idea, especially in like recruiting and staffing, because that's what I do professionally, is like you have no idea when that person's going to come back and want to use you to staff on like their team or whatever. And the way that you treated them when you talked to them about a position is the way, like the way that they had the experience with you is what they're going to remember forever.
Yeah.
They might not remember what you said or whatever, but they're going to remember how you made them feel. And they'll come back for that.
That's right.
And that's why I feel like I've been successful in that side of it. But also the same with the podcast, like people that have come on, Herbod, like we have a great rapport. I love him. He's awesome. He's incredible. He was introduced to me by another person that has a podcast, and then our friendship has just kind of bloomed from there, and then you're here, you know? If I was a shitty podcaster, if I just thought that I was cooler than everybody else, like he would have never recommended that one of his personal friends and a business partner for him, right? Like an investor in his businesses, like he would have never recommended that you come on my show.
Right.
It's a small world. So important though.
You'd be surprised how small the world can be once you establish a nice what network.
Yeah.
And you know, and that's for Gun, you know, we're pretty excited. And then our youngest cat on the label is Juke 21K, and he's kind of got the hearts of all the college and like high school kids right now.
Okay.
And it's pretty exciting. He's very creative, he's very positive. The music is great. We're just really excited. Oh, he has a new music video that's dropped, and he's built his new channel as well on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
So
on YouTube?
Yep.
Are all of your artists like on YouTube and then on Spotify?
Absolutely.
And
all of it. You can find them anywhere. You can either Google them,
Spotify,
iTunes.
If you want to, will you send me the information so that I can reference it in the show notes of this video so that if anybody wants to check them out, they can find them or
I'd
whatever.
Be happy to. And I'll send you the label stuff where they can also find the label.
Yeah, do that.
Information on the label.
Yeah, for sure. For any aspiring artists. Out there.
Yeah.
You never know. They could pass the goosebump test.
They might. Yeah. If you pass the goosebump test, that's pretty much an automatic go.
And
if
you're
not
in there.
Yeah. If you're not in there, but don't worry, you still got a second chance. And that's the if you can trigger my
imagination.
Yeah.
That's so cool. So back to the artist stuff though. So like you have to build these relationships with like these club owners, right?
Like not just club owners. Talent, and like, just it's the industry, right?
Right.
So you start to build relationships with other people that are working in the industry but working different parts.
Okay.
So whether it be publishing house, whether it be publicists, right?
Yeah.
You know, and the problem is, unfortunately, so another thing that's really funny about this music industry and even the film industry, you don't have to fucking have a license. You don't have to have a degree.
Right.
You don't have to have jack shit.
Yeah.
But there's pros and cons with that.
Right.
Because you run into a lot of, and I mean a lot of con artists.
Yeah.
In the entertainment industry, especially ones willing to like feed off your ambition.
Yeah.
And they take advantage of that. And then especially if they find out that if you come with like money, meaning you have investors behind you.
Right.
And or if even like mommy and daddy are willing to support your dream and they find that out, they'll milk that.
For sure.
There's a shit ton of broke people in the entertainment industry. Like, it's majority of it is a facade. It's literally one of those one percenter things as well.
Yeah.
Only 1% of that in the entertainment industry is actually doing as well as they come off as.
Or as they say they are. It's so, like $30,000 millionaires in Dallas.
That very, very, and it's the same thing with Hollywood. You have the same mentality there in Hollywood as well. And I stress this, that that's why networking is important, right? Yeah. And I can't tell you how even I've gotten fucked over,
right?
I've had people run off with money, not deliver on what they said they're going to deliver, run off with equipment.
Yeah.
And it's part of the journey. It's all part of the process. But what's crazy is what I've noticed is I'll be working with someone and they may end up screwing me over, okay, or not really delivering. But just before that happens, they'll introduce me to someone that's above like them in the industry that actually has a little bit more pull. Like it,
yeah.
And that's what I've noticed. It's like, okay, well, that was, and then the way I look at it, it's like, okay, well, that was my tax.
Right.
That was my tax to get in
that's
the door.
That's what I had to pay for to get here.
And that's how I look at it. And if you look at it that way,
yeah,
then you're never really getting screwed over.
Right. Instead of being salty and bitter about this.
And staying here,
pissed off.
You're moving forward and you're constantly networking. Okay, it didn't work here, but hey, that person invited you to a coffee with this person and y'all kind of hit it off and that person gave you their number. Okay, now start hitting that person up and say, what's up? And then, you know, it's funny, that person, many times I've had even another producer that I've actually had coffee with be like, you know, it's so funny. That person that set up the meeting, like, I never really hang out with them. It was just out of the blue, they hit me up and I just kind of took it because I had a free day.
Yeah.
And like, we met. And I'm like, that's crazy. What a small world. But in the back of my head, I'm like, this is literally the journey. This is how it is.
That was your opportunity cost, right?
Gotti Murano, okay? My artist.
Yeah.
He was sitting at a traffic light, okay? And he sees a guy pull up in a Rolls Royce.
Okay.
And he's like, and he honks at him, gets him to roll down the window and tells him, I'm going to be in one day.
Yeah.
And the guy said, I believe you will. He said, you will be. That guy is a producer for CBS. Ends up liking Gotti and taking him out to lunch at a red light, honking. And he just liked his energy. He liked Gotti's energy.
I'm here for it.
It's that. And like, it's that. It's putting yourself
CBS?
Out there.
CBS?
Yeah. That stuff for, I think he also did, Tommy Hadid. He created the Cheaters show. Yeah.
Oh my God.
They hit it off, became friends.
Homies.
Doing their thing. And like, that's that going back to like dating and how you're like, you have to put yourself, it's a numbers game.
1,000%.
And I try to say it, that's applies to everything.
Yes.
That's my point.
Right.
So that like there, Gotti doing that, that's like putting yourself out there. That's like hollering at a girl. That's that would be the equivalent to like.
Catcalling.
Hey, essentially catcalling, but in a way. Yeah.
But in a nice way.
But you know.
That's a positive form of catcalling.
I guess so. You know, but that's that concept of putting yourself out there, being vulnerable, because not jack shit gets done in your comfort zone.
And also optimistic. Nothing. Like,
oh yeah, yeah. And you have to not be so bitter. You have to be optimistic. You have to believe in the possibility.
Yes.
And you can't. So this is a lot of people's downfall. It's the thing, everyone's trying to screw them over.
Yes.
It's like, look, just because you got this person, and this person screws you over, doesn't mean the entire pool of human beings,
that 400 other people that you're going to talk to are going to screw you over. But that's why I love people like Herbod. Look at people with stories like that.
Yeah.
And then look at the way he lives his life. Everything is good.
Yeah.
Everything is positive. You think that's easy?
No, God, no.
No, that shit is not easy.
I'm bitter as shit sometimes, and I'm successful. And I know this.
That
and
shit
I still
is
get
not
mad.
Fucking easy. And he had something like, and for people who are listening to this episode that haven't heard Herbod's episode, maybe go back and listen to it. listen to the first one and then listen to the last one they re-recorded, because the change and the difference between that, you know, because you said that he like showed up in a suit trying to tell your dad, like, this is what I'm doing, whatever.
That was me mentoring him.
Yes.
And that is my Frankenstein.
My pet. This is
my Frankenstein. This is my I'm Dr. Right Frankenstein. That's the Frankenstein. That's like, no, exactly. He's brilliant. And now he's even more confident in himself and realize he doesn't need the suit and blah, 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 blah.
Because
I taught him, like, if they're going to invest in you, they're going to invest in you. They don't give a shit. You can come in naked.
Because they like you. But they like you because you show up, you're optimistic, you believe in yourself, you're confident, but not arrogant. You believe in everything about yourself and what it is that you're building and you're selling or whatever the case may be. But people like that are successful because they get up in the morning and they make that choice. They make the choice to be in a good mood. They make the choice to do the right thing. They make the choice to take care of themselves, take care of their business, whatever. Like, those people are the people who are successful. And there are other people who are successful who are assholes too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's
I don't feel like the universe really like helps them out. You know what I mean? I feel like karma will come back. But still.
In some form or another. It all depends on your belief. Absolutely.
But my thing is, I was talking about this the other day. Like, I wake up every day. I have a kid, right? And I wake up every day and choose to be in a good mood. I choose to take care of myself. I choose to take care of her. I choose to be the best type of parent that I can be. I choose to be my best self at work. All of those choices are not easy choices, but I choose to do those things because I know that if I'm doing not necessarily the right thing, but if I'm doing my best, then everything will work out. Like, those opportunities are going to present themselves. If I'm creating other opportunities for other people, if I'm seeing the best in other people, like, you're going to get screwed. That's inevitable, right? Like, people are going to screw you over. They're going to choose to not like you for no reason at all. But that's not on me, you know? Like, I have to keep doing what's best for me and for her going forward because there's no other choice for me. I have to make sure that I'm being my best self and showing up as my best self. Like, I could have shown up to this podcast in a shitty ass mood, or I didn't do my makeup, or I wore my pajamas. You know what I mean? But all of these things are a choice. I chose to show up happy because I am happy that you're here. And I'm so excited that I have the ability to have this conversation with someone that I met, that I enjoy, that has value to add to not only me, but to my listeners and to people who are subscribed to this podcast. Like,
well, I'm happy to do it. I'm thank you for having me on your show, your platform.
You're so welcome. And I mean, honestly, it's like somebody asked me the other day, why do you always wear black? Because I do. I always wear a black shirt. And I was like, because it's not about me. It's about showcasing the other person. I don't want any part of like this shirt. This shirt has a graphic on it, but most of the time I just wear black shirts. But it's like, it's not about me. It's about showcasing the other person and really putting the emphasis on them. And if I wear the same thing that's like muted and not showy, right, then I get to put more emphasis on my guest and we get to talk all about them. I'm just the I'm the platform and the interviewer. I'm not, this show is not about me. It's about the people that come on the show. But yeah, man, I think that your success is also dependent upon your outlook. And if you walk through life and you really think that people are out to get you or they're out to screw you,
then they are.
Then they're gonna.
That's what the world will give you.
Yeah.
I truly do believe in manifestation.
Yes.
So, because all the things that I've done prior to getting them done, I would say it out loud, I'm going to get this done.
Right.
And I would say that almost every day. I'd be like, I'm going to get this done. Or I'll be like, it might not be every day, but there'll be like brief, like, you know, standing on a balcony. I tell myself every day, like, I'll be like, I'm going to be an executive producer. I'm going to be somebody in the entertainment industry. I'm going to be an award-winning producer. That is what I'm going to do. When I die, that'll be what I'm known for. And I pretty much say that almost. I don't care about whatever else I'm known for. If anything, it'll be known for the impact I had on the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
That is.
And showcasing the artists that you sign and highlighting their talents.
So, and I say that, you know, and I truly believe in manifestation in that sense. So.
That's awesome.
And like speaking things into
existence. Yeah, and you have to believe in yourself, man, because if you don't, nobody else will.
Oh, nobody already does. I'm gonna tell you that right now.
Nobody
even
does.
Your parents. Okay, even
I know
your
they're
parents.
Like, that's nice, honey. That's nice.
even when they're 100% involved, I promise you, because it's every human is just human at the end of the day. So like, there's like that 1% in the back of their head, like,
what if it doesn't work?
What if this doesn't work?
Awkward.
This is gonna be awkward. Are they gonna live with me in my house forever? Like these
in my basement.
You know, so just know, no one but yourself can give you 100% support.
Yes.
And if the sooner you realize that, and I'm not trying to be like bitter and like close off from people, but I'm just saying realize by not expecting it from others to help drive you
yes.
to get to your like goals.
You your can't motivation has to be internal.
Internal. Yes. It has to be internal. You can't be like, I need emotion or like support from X, Y, and Z.
External validation.
To be able to do what I want to do. No, no. Then you've already
you
failed before
it.
You even left the gate.
Yeah.
So
what's next? So now, we have artists and we're...
Film.
You yep. want to do more film?
Well, I have a 3-script deal right now with a writer that I write the scripts.
Of course you do.
I've written.
What else do you do, Coria?
That's my real passion.
What don't you do? Okay.
Film and acting is probably my huge right up there. That's what I really, really love is
okay.
film and music.
All right.
But especially acting. I really enjoy acting and writing yeah. some scripts and coming up with concepts. I'm not the best. So I'm the guy that comes up with I'm the guy pacing and like shooting out, blurting out ideas. I'm not as well like organized to like get it in format. That's why my writing partner.
Yeah. You're the big picture.
I have an amazing writing
person.
Partner that right. I use in Los Angeles. Great, brilliant guy as well. I love him to death. I got introduced to him by my agent introduced us. Rich, he's great guy. He's worked on many scripts and he's helps me get my thoughts and stuff organized. He's he's my writing partner.
Yeah.
So,
you're the big picture guy.
Yeah.
He's the details guy.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yes.
So, that's where I tend to want to focus. Oh, and I'm in crypto. I forgot to add that. You know, I do crypto. I've started a crypto mining farm in Garland.
Okay.
Garland, Texas. It's doing well.
You've started that. Can you explain to me what the fuck that means? And for everyone else listening.
What does what mean?
A crypto mining farm?
Okay. So cryptocurrencies are
transactions. Let's list some. So we have
on the
Bitcoin,
blockchain.
Ethereum.
You have a million. Yeah.
A
we have
bajillion.
There's a lot.
What are the most famous ones?
So
Bitcoin.
So, yeah. You have Bitcoin at the number one.
That's
the one number one recognized crypto.
How much
Second
is Bitcoin
is
right now?
Ethereum.
How much is it worth?
I think it was last I checked was 38,000. I want to say it was, I can tell you right now, actually. One
second. 38,000?
Mm-hmm.
It's probably around there, right? Ballpark. It's Saturday, so. Oh, but Bitcoin trades all the time.
Bitcoin trades
24/7. You can buy Bitcoin all the time.
You can, yeah, it never sleeps.
It's not the stock market.
It's 39,000. Yeah, that's another thing why it's crazy. It never sleeps.
Nutty.
Unlike the stock market, crypto world never sleeps.
Stock market's like Monday through Friday, 8 to 5.
But also like holidays.
Eastern time?
If there's holidays, they're closed for like
the
bank holiday. The same holidays that the banks are closed, the stock market's closed because the banks have
that's
to
convenient.
work
right,
along
sure.
with
yeah.
it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hand in hand.
But so you have Bitcoin, you have Ethereum.
Okay.
Another one, you know.
You're like, let me look at my wallet real quick. Hold on.
you know, Algorand, Cardano,
Doge.
I mean, those are like those meme coins as well. But so, what does it mean to have a crypto mining farm? So,
yeah.
So, like for example, Bitcoin.
Okay.
The transactions that happen on the blockchain have to be processed.
Okay. What's a blockchain?
The blockchain is the technology.
I'm asking these questions. You're laughing at me, but these are the. I'm telling you.
Is the blockchain
75% of people don't know this shit.
Well,
you're like,
it's readily
those
available.
Aren't my people, but I know
those
that they're out there.
The information is readily available. Blockchain technology is like encrypted technology where data sits inside this block, and
Got
each
it.
Block is
okay.
processed,
All
right? And then once it's made, it's like chained.
Got it.
What those machines do. Is it's processing that data.
Okay.
So it's really processing incredibly difficult, like, equations.
Okay.
And every time it does that, it gets rewarded in the cryptocurrency that it's mining.
Oh.
That's why it's called mining.
Okay.
Because it's each making, machine
it's is finding a, value it, with the work.
Well, it's yeah, it's, it's processing the transaction. So it's like everything that's like, think of that, the movie Office Space.
Okay.
When they make that program.
The pennies.
Essentially, that's what's kind of happening on a like rough example of what's happening.
That's relatable.
But that's just to make it somewhat relatable and to give you a better idea of kind of what's happening. So each machine will works together as well. And you mine at a hash rate. So it's processing like just like a computer. It's just processing all these equations really fast every second.
Okay.
And your hash rate is what... depending on what pool you're connected to, by the way, because you have a pool of everyone that puts their hash rate together.
All right.
And the pool through smart contracts knows who's putting what, which like whose machines
are putting are the putting, most.
Because it's all connected through the internet
or
as well.
Or maybe who has
and you give them your IP address of each machine has its own IP address.
Oh, wow.
So they can tell which machine is doing what.
Yeah.
And they're just rewarded for solving these equations.
Okay.
And that's what it is. And, you know, you set that threshold.
That makes so much more sense because I had no idea what the fuck that meant. Because they're like,
it's not like an actual, like, mining gold.
Okay, but that's what you think because you say mining. And it's like, what do you mean mining? What are you digging for?
You know what? The best example of what it really is, it's essentially a data processing center.
Okay.
That is really, at the end of the day.
Yeah.
The best rough example.
And that's the same thing they were
saying
about.
It shouldn't be called mining. It really should be called a processing center.
Yes.
A crypto processing center.
But mining sounds cooler.
But it's decentralized, so.
Right. So you can start those. Anybody can start it.
Anybody
can do that.
Anybody can with the right setup.
Okay.
And what's wonderful is I took my... So what's funny is these machines kind of act like marijuana plants. They need a controlled environment.
Right. They need like...
A room controlled environment. Right. That has to be cold.
It's like a data center.
And like a data center. Right. Exactly. That's why I said like a process data center. They need a lot of electricity to run.
Which is like their food.
Which is essentially the food of the machine. And then, it's a plug and play at that point. And at the point after that, it's like maintenance. You're just kind of checking and making sure everything's running properly and accordingly.
Yeah.
And everything's attached
to
you.
And you bought a building to do this in, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's actually out of one of the rooms inside the record label. That's inside Toontang Entertainment.
That's what's up, man. Diversify.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's absolutely. I can't express how having seven sources of income is really important if you want to try to go and like chase other dreams and goals.
Yes.
And is having capital.
Yeah.
And if you're like, okay, well, how do you get capital? The first $100,000 anyone, you know, you as in a business person, that the first $100,000 is the hardest
to make
on planet Earth to make. But once you have it,
it's like all
with
downhill
all
from there.
The knowledge you gained from trying to achieve that first 100,000.
Yeah.
Okay. Once you have it, it's game over. It's life changing.
Right.
Because you're using all the knowledge now that you have to reach that, and now you're just scaling.
Right.
At that point.
It's just bigger money
so
moves.
So once you've understood, exactly, bigger money moves. So like, once you're able to bring a 10% return on $1,000, that's like, that's only like 100, that's only 100 bucks.
Right.
Well, a 10% return on $1,000,000 is 100,000.
Right.
Now you're talking about some serious money. And even, a 10% return on 100,000 is 10,000. That's still some pretty decent money.
It's good money.
So like, it's all about scalability. It's all about getting it. I don't know. I don't care how you get it. It's just if you can get your hands on that first 100K and with the knowledge that you have, like not just be like, hey, here's 100K.
No.
Good luck to you. I mean, you have to earn that.
Yeah.
Once you've earned that first 100K, whether it's through investments, financial, like consulting, whatever it is you may be doing, even if it could be your 9-to-5.
Right.
Right. And you're at home after you get off of work, you're reading financial books and financial educational books. It's once you get that, it changes your life. You're able to scale it. The knowledge that you now know and how financially educated you are, you're able to learn about compound interest, which I believe is the eighth wonder of the world.
Yeah. That's my husband. It was like when pandemic hit, he literally just went all in on investing.
Yeah.
And like every single penny that it's not spent on expenses or bills or whatever.
Goes into that.
Literally goes into investing.
Wonderful.
He's like all downhill from there. And I'm the big picture person, right? So I'm like, well, what does all that mean? And he's like, what it means is that we're buying great value everything and we're investing the rest of it. Right. And I'm like, okay, all right. But I want to be the person who's like making the money, right? Like the business owner, the entrepreneur, and he can be the investor in the back of house guy. Like,
there you go.
I'm not good at paperwork or money or any of that stuff, but I'm really good at talking to people and I'm pretty good at sales. So he can do the rest of that stuff.
There you go.
Live your best life.
It's all about teamwork.
He knows all about data
teamwork
mining.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
I don't know about any of that shit.
There you go. But I mean, like I said, teamwork makes the dream work.
Yeah, for sure. He's like the perfect compliment to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm happy. That's wonderful. That's what you want in a partner, is someone that you can rely on. Someone that complements your weaknesses.
Yes. It's literally
you compliment
yin and yang.
Yeah.
He and 100%. I. It's crazy.
That's the beauty of having, a relationship, like that.
Yeah.
That's what you want in a relationship, in my opinion, is a partner you can count on.
For sure.
So.
But I would have never met him if I didn't go on those 100 dates.
That's true. Numbers game. Everything's a numbers game.
I'm selling myself over here, But no, thank you for coming.
It was my pleasure.
Really,
thank you for having me.
And next time you come to Texas, you'll have to come back on.
Oh yes, absolutely. I was like, next time I come to Texas,
wait,
I was like, oh yeah.
What?
I was like, well, when is the next time I'm coming? And it'll be April.
Whenever it is,
it'll be April.
You're always welcome.
Well, I appreciate
that. You and Herbod,
that.
Whenever, and Herbod's coming back soon too. He's gonna live here for a few months or something.
Yeah. Before he heads to Florida.
Yeah.
So
to Miami.
Miami.
Where are you going next?
You're going to
Los Angeles? And then do you have to go to New York or?
No, I mean, only time I go to New York is if there's like meetings with the major labels or publishing.
Yeah.
But I can't, I don't like being in New York for too long.
I'm not a huge fan of
New
York.
It's just too much.
Yeah.
If I can't hear myself think, which that's New York. You can't hear yourself think unless you have absolute muting earphones.
Yeah.
Like I go crazy.
Yeah.
Because I don't have ADHD and I don't think I have ADD, but like I said, I have an active imagination. So like sounds, things like will trigger it and I can just go off into my own.
You're like, I'm literally not getting shit
done
here. There's so much going on.
Yeah. So that's, or it's just, yeah, it's just wild. I have a love-hate relationship for it. That's what because I do also, like, I love the bodega. The bodega, I could live in a bodega. I fucking love those things. I think they're the greatest thing New York has ever invented.
Great. Why don't we have them everywhere?
I don't know why we don't. We have 7-Elevens and freaking racetracks.
We don't have bodegas because people don't walk here.
I know.
They don't believe in walking here.
I mean, you can't, though, either.
I know, but
everything
still
is so spread out.
I know. How long did you have to drive to get here today?
30 minutes.
30 minutes. I had to drive an hour.
God.
Like, it's so dumb.
Wow.
Everything. DFW is so spread out.
Wow.
It's ridiculous.
So.
So if anybody wants to find you, so I know your Instagram handle will be on this.
Yeah.
It'll be, like, in the whatever.
Persian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Persian_money. On Instagram.
Yep.
And then do you have like a website? Or?
Yeah, we have toontankentertainment.net.
Toontank. So TUNETANK.
Yep.
Entertainment.net. Okay. And then, yeah.
And our YouTube, all our channels are all synced.
Okay.
With the same name. So you should easily be able to find us. You can either find.
Perfect.
And
then what about if somebody wants to like book one of your artists? Do they just reach out to you?
Yeah, they can reach out to me.
Okay.
Or they can contact me directly on IG or
send them a DM, slide in the DMs.
Send a submissions request to the label's account, which I review.
Oh,
I review everyone personally. So
Yeah. Awesome, man.
Easy.
Thank you so
easy,
much for coming.
Absolutely.
This has
been
awesome.
A pleasure.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you for
having
me.
I really enjoyed it. So if you have any questions, feel free to send me an email at biggirlpantspod@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening. Please rate and review. Leave us a 5-star review only, please. Thank you very much. And if you have any questions or anything else for me, feel free to reach out. But thank you. Thank you guys for listening. Bye.
Boom. Have a great one.